Somebody in the neighborhood is doing yard work, and I'm just going to have to vibe with it.
You're just going to have to.
I'm just going to have to. This is just going to have to be okay.
On a Saturday afternoon.
Welcome to Direct-to-Video. VHS?
VHS.
A podcast where we pair movies like fine wine. So, we're finally here. We've killed the franchise.
This is death in the franchise.
Because we watched The Swan Princess, I say the colon because it's important, far longer than forever. A movie that I paid to watch.
You paid to watch this?
For the first time, I think, in this series of movies, I paid to watch this one. Because not only is it not on any streaming service, but Nobody seems to have cared enough to pirate it.
I can tell you, I was able to find a publicly available showing of the film, but it took some time. Apparently, it is available on moviesanywhere.com and Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I watched on Amazon Prime. I had some points to spend. I didn't spend money. I spent points. So that's how I comforted myself on about it. I paid Jeff Bezos to watch this movie.
That's, you know,
it's a dark day.
If you think about it, it's not the worst thing in the world.
No, there are worse things in the world, but it's hard to think of one right at this moment.
Yeah, that is true. I think we've both expressed pretty vividly that this whole franchise pretty much from the beginning was a bad idea. Like, Swan Princess as a film is fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure it is, but my opinion is so warped at this point. I'd have to go back.
Right, that's the thing is I don't know if I could. I think even if I went back and watched it, I'd just be so grateful. I'd be so grateful for so many things.
It's a bad franchise. It's a bad franchise, and it has gone out with a real fucking whimper.
It really has. I genuinely, if they had dedicated to just Prince Derek sailing off, disappearing behind an illusory like barrier that even ghosts cannot pass through.
Yeah, that would have been amazing. And we got credits.
It would have been appropriate, I think.
I also want to mention, it was something that I mentioned in the last podcast, and it's even more true now. So last podcast, I was like, there was this one joke that didn't work, but like would have worked if it was a SpongeBob episode. And basically, I was thinking that the whole time I was watching this movie, I was like, none of these jokes are good. None of them work. But if this was a SpongeBob episode, they'd be fucking hilarious. And I was like, why isn't this just a SpongeBob episode?
I don't know anything really about SpongeBob. I didn't grow up with it.
I could do another like Amazing World of Gumball or something. Like
Right. It's got that level of like so random humor.
It needs like that absurdist humor. Yeah, like okay. At one point, and we'll talk about it when we get there, but at one point, Derek and Odette decide to go undercover. And their choice is to go undercover as the most ostentatious, famous magicians who wear masks all the time. There are lots of reasons this is stupid. Number one, because perfect human masks exist in this world like it's Batman.
Correct.
But number two, that's just not how you sneak around.
Would you say that they went royally undercover?
I refuse to say that. Thank you for asking.
But they did so to solve A royal
mystery.
Mystery.
Yeah, they did. It's all come together. And I just saw that and I was like, but what if SpongeBob did that? It would be a good joke.
Right.
In a SpongeBob episode, SpongeBob was like, we have to go undercover. And in the next scene, he's dressed as a magician. And he's like, don't worry, Squidward, I'm in disguise.
I am in disguise. No one will ever... I'm wearing my little domino mask.
Yes. The difference is that in SpongeBob, they know it's absurd. And in this, it feels like they're trying to take it seriously.
Well, they do, because they do a whole sequence where they prove that they're not Derek and Odette.
Yeah, that sequence was really, really, really baffling and confusing until literally the last bit, which was the only bit they needed.
Right, the whole other part of it was just...
I was like, how does this prove anything? All they're proving is that they... I mean, really? Actually,
is that they're liars?
We gotta begin at the beginning, because I do have opinions on that sequence.
Okay, so... The Swan Princess, Far Longer Than Forever.
Yeah.
Which, for a movie that's 80 minutes long, it sure felt far longer than forever.
I mean, not to give away the ending at the top, it's not the worst one of these I've seen, but
No, it's not even close.
It's just a string of nonsense. Like, it didn't have any of the, like, emotional through line of the movie before it.
Right. I think the worst one was probably, I think The Swan Princess Christmas might be the worst one. But
The Swan Princess Christmas might be the worst one, even though it did introduce us to number 9.
To number 9. That might just be because it was the worst looking. Like, they really didn't know how to do 3D animation.
It
and
was
also has the least amount of plot.
And it was the first 3D animated one. It did essentially retread the plot of the first one, but it's Christmas now. So they defeat Rothbart with Christmas magic, which, Andy, there's no way that's not funny. I feel like when we last talked about this, you hadn't remembered it, but I do really need to drill down on the fact that there are dubstep and techno Christmas songs in it. They'll have orphan singing and then have it remixed in the moment. And it's
that's really bad.
Cool, this is garbage.
We didn't get that in this movie, although I think we did get orphan singing.
We did get orphan singing.
Citation needed, but...
I mean, it's not for sure they're orphans, but where did these kids come from? I didn't see any parents.
Right, exactly. This movie picks up where the last movie left off, with Derek and Odette staring at his dad's awful portrait.
Literally saying the same words. Odette says the wild, by the way, hold up.
Yeah.
I want to mention something. When I was searching, when I was digging through the internet for a way to find this movie that I did not have to pay for, I discovered that on a website that I believe was called Springfield, they had the entire script for this movie uploaded.
Really?
And I looked at it and I was like, do I just not watch this movie? Do I read it instead? And that's why I remember that the first line is Odette going, first your mother, now my mother, now your father. They've come back to us. Which is, again, fully insane, Odette.
It's crazy because your mother hasn't come back to us. Your mother is, in fact, still dead.
Her mother is also, like, unlike Derek's dad, which they go out of their way to point out in two movies now that he, like, never sat for a portrait. So Derek probably didn't even really know what his dad looked like because he died when he was, like, 5.
Right.
Odette has portraits of her mom, so she never lost her in that same way.
Right.
And also, she never knew the woman.
By the end of this movie, Derek will, in fact, have his dad back.
Yeah, and she sure won't. She sure won't.
And Odette is still walking around parentless. Fully I kind of feel parents. Like maybe they should have brought back Rothbart. Like, you know, he was like the closest thing she had to a dad for a long time. Let's open that can of worms.
He wanted to marry her.
Oh, did he? Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's not good. He can't be doing that.
No. This Count Olaf bullshit. So, I wish they brought back Rothbart. I thought that maybe the secret arts were going to come back for a hot minute.
Same. Same. I was like, oh my god, the island is fake. Is that the secret? Is this the secret art? The dark arts?
The dark arts, yeah. This film franchise does not know what the fun stuff of the film franchise is, and it's an evil magic force that changes prophecies. That's what's fun. What's not fun is this shit. So it's Rogers and Magnus, the painter,
correct,
fully in Derek's earshot, are like, does Derek know? No, Derek has no idea. And Derek's like, what don't I know?
Tell me what I don't know. Tell me right now. I'm the king. What a wild choice.
Yeah. Yeah. We learned that apparently, yeah, for reasons that are still not clear to me, it really is considered a big deal that Max went out to, quote, make deals with pirates. Even though it's like, I'm really confused. I'm still confused about this because supposedly his crime, the thing that would have shamed the family, is that he was making a deal with pirates, but also the pirates killed him. So it's not like he was working with the pirates. It's that he was trying to make a good faith deal and was murdered.
Right.
Which doesn't seem like much of a crime.
Well, but then I hate this movie so much because they like ruined that, right? They're like, no, he actually never wrote this. It was a forgery.
Right. Which there is no reason for the conspiracy in this movie. Like I it doesn't make any sense. It made more sense to me that Max was a little bit naive and that he wanted to make a deal with the pirates. It made a lot more sense to me than he's kidnapped. I have a lot of notes that just say that was 30 years ago because they do not treat this case like a cold case literally at all.
Every once in a while, they'll be like, that was 30 years ago. And it's like, but you were there. And it's like, this guy was there.
Well, this
is like an immortal kingdom.
So Derek's like, Derek asks Rogers and his mom, do you think my dad would have made this deal with the pirates? And they're like, no, of course not. Like, wow, I didn't realize that we didn't think that. why didn't we think that? But apparently they just like don't look into it for 30 years. So that
they just accept on its face, like, well, yeah, of course.
So then Derek and Odette go to the Council of Crowns. By the way, this gives Uberta a reason not to sit on the Council of Crowns that she just didn't say in the last movie.
Right.
And I just want to say something, man. Like, Christ. Protect me from these two trying to be cunning. It's, like, fucking awful.
Yeah, Odette says that her groundskeeper told her once if you want to get gophers out of their hole, all you need is a little smoke.
And
Derek's like, I gotcha.
I gotcha. Smoke.
And then he walks in there and he's like, if only somebody here hadn't accused my father of being a criminal. It's like, all right, dude, maybe pump the brakes a little bit.
Well, and one of the other kings is like, oh, your father made deal with pirates. And I was like, that was still 30 years ago. Like, stop saying stuff that was 30 years ago. It's so crazy.
Like, if it wasn't 30 years, I think they really ran into the problem in this movie of the fact that all of this stuff had to happen before the first movie.
Right.
But also, like, it happened in the last movie. So everybody just remembers this stuff, even though I'm not a good example for this because 30 years ago I wasn't born, but I certainly don't remember anything from 30 years ago. Do you?
Do I remember anything from 30 years ago?
30 years ago.
30 years ago. I was...
Where were you today 30 years ago?
So...
That's what I'm saying, is like, what? Everyone is acting like they can just... And also, and this is so funny, other than Magnus, who looks terrible, no one has aged a day.
No one has aged
a fucking day. We meet a character in this movie, Crispin, who's just a guy who was there 30 years ago, and he looks the same.
Okay. It's worse for Crispin, because he says that he's been working as an accountant for 25 years. And I was like, there's no fucking way this guy is old enough to be a retired pirate who became an accountant 25 years ago.
Yeah, it just doesn't... Why did they do this? They didn't have to do this. The old... There's like an old man who saw Max's ship go out to sea.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh yeah, that guy got fired for missing that detail. Also, he was old. So he was a hermit. Yeah, this guy should be like 100, right? He should be like a decrepit... No offense to people. I don't want to be ageist here, but he should be like a decrepit skeleton turning to dust as we speak.
I mean, that was a little bit ageist, but he looked like he was maybe 50, like headed towards retirement when he was fired. So he
30 years ago.
He should be around 80, which is like a real slowing down moment in the like.
You're not out here. You're not running laps, right? But my man looks fine. He looks the same because everybody looks the same. Okay, so Derek and Odette, they do this. Everybody, obviously, this causes a stir. So they're like, I guess we have to go home. But lo and behold, somebody has sabotaged their wagon to send them a message. And they decide, well, we have to stay now and investigate. Because clearly somebody's trying to hide something about Derek's dad.
It's really confusing, though. Why did they do that?
Why did they sabotage their wagon?
Yeah. Why did they want to send them a message? Surely it would be much easier to just say nothing.
Yeah, in fact.
Because if you said and did nothing, they'd be like, well, nobody is acting that suspicious.
So I guess there's nothing to learn.
Yeah.
So they decide to go to this inn owned by the what would be the worst character in this movie if John Bob didn't make a reappearance.
John Bob keeping the crown. Worst character.
In every movie.
This lady is a fucking close second. And there were many times when I was like, just go to a different hotel. Stop dealing with this woman. Go anywhere else. You know that the lady across the street also has a hotel.
Right.
It's a city. It's a port city. There are rooms.
So they stay at this lady's hotel. And they don the disguise. Again, we've gone over this. They wear domino masks.
I mean, it works for Robin, so...
Yeah, they are the Barrymores, a troupe of world-famous magicians. Now, I need to take a quick aside here. There's kind of this unspoken rule in movies that you can't have people watching movies in movies because it just kind of is weird. Obviously, like, this isn't like a set rule. It's just a thing that people talk about where it's like, oh, you don't want to like make audiences aware of the fact that like what they're doing is watching a movie. And so putting a movie in your movie just doesn't work.
Interesting.
So oftentimes in movies, characters will go to a play or a magic show, right? Things that are like movie adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that in a movie, when somebody does a magic trick, it's just not impressive. And it is 155 billion% more not impressive when the characters are just completely fake.
So this is the thing about Okay, so I was going to mention this when they were proving, quote unquote, that they were not actually Derek and Odette to the Council of Crowns. Their big argument is basically that Derek and Odette would not be talented enough magicians to do this.
Right.
And I was sitting here like, you can't just lampshade that. They're not talented enough magicians to do this. How are they doing this? This makes zero sense.
But also, this is a world where magic exists.
This is a world where magic exists. Yes. So, like,
they are doing straight up, like, they start, like, at one point juggling fire, and I'm like, that's dark arts shit.
They're floating at one point. There should have been a reveal that the I don't remember her name, Rothbart's old sidekick, the little, lady that works for them. There should have been
the
a
one
reveal
who married the cook.
That she's, like, always a few feet behind them casting spells, and that's how they're doing it.
But see, and here's the thing is you're saying this because you give more of a shit about this franchise than these people who made it did.
I want to be clear. I'm not sure I do, but I do give a shit about competent storytelling. Just like, not even, and Andy, not even good storytelling. It doesn't need to be good. It needs to, like, make sense scene to scene.
Right. It needs to hold an amount of, like, sense. As a piece of Dadaist experimentation, right? I think this franchise really does succeed. But the thing is like, this is supposed to be, like, a franchise for kids. And it just makes no sense.
There is, like, a long sequence where they're just flying. Right. And they didn't set up wires in there.
Right, how are they doing this?
also, I'm sorry. This is just not how you travel secretly. So here's the thing about this shitty lady that runs this hotel. She's a massive gossip. She even prints her own gossip rag. And they come in the most ostentatious... Okay, so there can be ostentatious disguises, right? There are disguises that mean I want you to look at me so that you know I'm not the person you're looking for.
Right.
I'm, like, too big to possibly be these people. But they walk in and they say, don't tell anyone we're here. So that's not what they're trying to do.
Right. Which is like, why are you doing this?
Then why are you doing it like this? Why don't you show up and you're like, hi. We're just some poor people who want a room. We're nobody.
But that's the thing. That's the thing, right? I don't think Derek and Odette could pretend to be just poors. They considered it, and then they were like, no, we have to pretend to be world-famous magicians.
Hey, Andy, do you know who could do it? It's Elise. Their orphan daughter who used to be a farm girl.
Right, and then maybe also her boyfriend husband, who used to be a tulip farmer.
Her poor fiancé, whose parents are still alive and still tulip farm. Yeah, maybe. Who I think went off to
movie.
He went off to, like, I'm trying to remember, I think he went off to college to, like, study botany.
Tulip farming.
Yes, because this is the thing he does. It's like, yeah, there was a way to do this that wasn't like, oh, we're the biggest, dumbest people you know. Sorry, let's continue. They get into the hotel room.
And at this point, our investigation begins.
There's a bit, I don't remember if it's here or if it's a bit later. There's a bit where they won't even show me them using logic.
Oh, yeah, they just go, what about this? Or what about this and this? Well, that doesn't explain this.
It's like, you guys... So, they have a murder board, but the murder board is all, like, clues that are written out in that, like, just squiggle lines.
Right. The, like, thing you do when you're drawing a book, and you're like, well, I don't want to write what's in the book, so I'm just going to kind of...
So, like, their murder board means nothing.
There's a point in the movie, I think, where the camera, like, starts zooming in on it sadly. Like, oh, no. the case is dead. And it's like, there is literally no information on this board that matters. So.
Yeah.
They immediately hone in on King. I believe his name is King Edward.
I think who is so.
The bald guy who hates Derek's dad, who hated Derek's dad 30 years ago and hates him now. And he's been acting mighty suspicious.
I don't want to. I think I'm just going to give it away. He's a red herring. And that was the one bit in this movie that surprised me.
Oh, I knew it wasn't him the whole time.
I was like, I mean, I was not giving this movie the benefit of the doubt at all. I was like, yeah, but I bet it's the guy who obviously did it. Like, I was just like,
oh, well, because I watched the last movie, and so I'm like, I know it's the Blonde King. I know he's the one who did it.
I mean, it's obviously the Blonde King because in the beginning of that movie, he's evil, and then halfway through, it turns out he's not, and that is evil. Weird.
Well, also, he's the only person alive who was handling the journal.
Yeah. Because the only other person who touched the journal was,
Odette's dad, who's dead as fuck.
Yeah.
Also, apparently in the last movie, when we were like, these cannons suck ass. An integral clue.
I was actually, like, a little bit impressed. I was like, oh, the cannons were supposed to suck ass.
They were supposed to be shit and bad.
It wasn't. That was a stupid line where he said, these are the best cannons ever, and then later they don't do shit. They weren't supposed to do shit. That was a clue.
That was a clue. Oh, no. I thought the movie was just bad. See, this is the problem, right?
It reminds me of a much better movie. It reminds me of Knives Out.
Yeah.
Now, skip forward 5 minutes. I'm about to give away a twist at Knives Out.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the hit film Knives Out, a movie that came out like almost 10 years ago.
When we were watching it for the first time, and the I can't remember his name, but the guy, he gets poisoned. Stephen King stand-in. He gets poisoned. And he's gonna die in like 5 minutes. Like, that's the amount of drugs he's got in him.
Yeah.
Harlan
Thrombey.
Yes, and so he starts planning his murder to protect his nurse. Jamie was like, this guy sure doesn't look like he's poisoned. She was like, he's pretty cognizant for what this drug is supposed to be doing. And I was like, it's a movie. You gotta have a little bit. You gotta just like, have a little benefit of the doubt. Yeah, just let it do its thing. It's not that big a deal. It was a big deal. He wasn't poisoned.
He was fine.
And this is exactly the same thing with these cannons, except this movie is such a bad movie that I didn't even consider that maybe I should have given them the benefit of the doubt. I was just like, this is a stupid fight.
So, it turns out King Edward is welcome back, people who skipped, because they spoiled about Knives Out. It turns out that King Edward is a red herring.
Yes.
Which means that effectively 45 minutes of this movie are a waste of our time.
Fully now, like, useless.
Fully pointless, and just to kind of hit the highlights, they dress up their talking animals as the dogs from the last movie. I don't know why.
I mean, I think there's only one reason. Which is that these movies are made in pairs. And they need to reference the last movie, like, a lot, even though they don't need to. And I just think that's the only reason. They're like, yeah, remember these big characters from the last movie? The dogs that were there for a little bit? They're dead now. It's been 30 years.
They're dead as fuck. And also, we're puppeting around their corpses like it's fun. Nobody cares. So
it did mean that I didn't have to see Jean Bob a lot.
That's true. For a good chunk of this movie, we John Bob is actually a much, much cuter designed chihuahua. So the animals do a bunch of shenanigans, and they end up with a piece of writing from Edward that says, I am telling you when this ship gets here to remember to kill everyone on board and to give me half the money. And they're like, this is it. This is his confession. And at the same time, the puffin goes to interview the dock worker who's like, yeah, somebody set a fire while I was watching the boats and I missed the boats.
Side note on Puffin, his wings look so bad. They've had 20 years to figure this out.
Yeah. Well, I just don't think this is very much a studio that does like a one model and we nailed it.
That's true.
For a lot of these characters, which is why I was genuinely surprised at the beginning of this movie that Derek and Odette go through like 5 costume changes. It's pretty astounding.
It was maybe the most surprising thing in the movie that they kept doing new costumes, which is again, when I was most like, if this was a SpongeBob episode, this would be great.
The Rogers and the ghost squirrel, God help me if I can remember its name. I don't think they say the squirrel's name more. Yes, it is Scully. You got it. I don't think they say Scully's name more than twice in this movie, once at the beginning and once at the end, which I think is very funny.
I love Scully. And it's not because
as a concept, as an idea.
It's not because he's a good character. It's not because he ever does anything interesting. It's that he's the... it's that he is, for these writers, the most useful character. They're just like, how do we figure this out? Throw a ghost squirrel at it.
A ghost squirrel can solve... This is like a classic... This is like a classic Stephen King problem. Right? Where Stephen King, whenever he runs into a problem, he just makes a character psychic. And that's great, you know? And I think that these guys have, like, really tuned into what if, can a ghost squirrel really solve the world's problems? There are other movies that we've watched where we were like, if Scully was here, this wouldn't be a problem.
If Scully was here, he'd just solve this. Yes. I remember, I forget... Yeah, it was a podcast. It was these two writers on a podcast that were talking about how, as a joke, they gave one of their side characters, like, unlimited cosmic power.
Yeah.
And then they were like, then we had to figure out how to get rid of it, because every time anything happened, we were like, he could just solve this.
Right. Like, why couldn't he just solve this? This is why you can't have... This is the Superman problem, right? This is also the... You have to put limits on characters, right, whether they're your protagonist or your villains, because audiences, as stupid as they are individually, as a mass of people who are going to be scrutinizing your writing... are going to just point out, like, well, I thought this guy had unlimited power. You know? If you can't write, like, a powerful character and then make them weaker, because audiences just get tired of that shit real quick. This is how you get stuff like the ending of Stranger Things or the ending of Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. where it's like, I thought this all-powerful character could do anything, but it turns out that they're just really stupid.
They just can't, so...
They simply cannot. That solves that problem. And in this, they were like, no, this ghost squirrel can, in fact, solve every problem. And when he's not here, well, you know, he's on vacation. He's in heaven.
Maybe he visits heaven. Half of this movie is the animal sidekicks dicking around and doing stupid shit. And half of this movie is Scully and Rogers just, like, solving the problem.
Solving the problem. So they steal the journal.
I want to be clear. Their side of the movie is not better or more fun.
No. It's also stupid. But, like, you know, it moves at a faster pace. Probably because one of them isn't literally a turtle.
Yes.
So
they steal the journal, and Rogers immediately clocks it as a forgery, which, I'm sorry, that means that this is a bad forgery. Like,
right.
And they're like, we have to... we have to find the forger for this fucking forger. And it's like, what do you, if it was paid, if somebody was paid to forge this, then they've already failed. Like, why wouldn't you just believe that this was just a random person?
Right. Because, yeah, also, as a person who, like, puts little curls on my Fs, that's not, like, a unique thing. That's not like one guy does.
He's like, ah, the curl on the F, we have to find that curl. And that's not how you find a forger either.
No. So, my favorite thing is, like, what they could have done is they could have been like, huh, well, everyone in this town is illiterate because they're all peasants.
That would be good.
And then they could have been like, but somebody had to write all of these signs.
That is a good idea. Like, the one forger in town's just the one guy who can write.
Who can write! But also, unfortunately, they couldn't do that because they already blew that on their dumb innkeeper character who writes her own gossip rag.
Right.
She could have been the forger. That would have been good.
So here's the other thing. They immediately are like, oh, this tavern has squiggly Fs. And I have a question for you, Andy. Why would you use a tavern as a cover for a forgery business?
Right. I genuinely, at a certain point in this movie, we meet an accountant. And I'm like, well, this has to be the guy who does the forgeries. He's literally an accountant. And it turns out, he's the best of us, this accountant. He's the greatest of all human beings.
This accountant is also very bafflingly unable to die.
That is true. I have to believe that this accountant, who used to be a pirate, single-handedly killed everyone on that boat.
Maybe.
Like, that's the only way, right? It's not like he jumped onto another lifeboat and got away.
It would be funny if he did, after that whole, like, long live King Garrick and Queen Odette, that just ran onto the next lifeboat.
I want to watch that. There's like a John Wick style movie with this guy. Where we learn all about the secret life of pirates. They have their own code. He's like, I thought I was retired, but I guess I'm back.
Okay.
Anyway, I love Crispin. He's the best character in this movie.
So they get all this information, but oops, it turns out that their innkeeper has found out, because she was obviously spying on them and they didn't leave, has found out their true identities and has published it. And for some reason,
all over the world.
For some reason, this is a problem. And what I mean is that Derek is going to be kicked off the Council of Crowns.
For what?
Yeah. For dressing like a magician.
How dare he?
Is uncool.
How dare, what a fucking loser this guy and his wife are. Going around dressing up as magicians and pretending to be magicians. Terrible. What are they, sex perverts? This is what gets them off.
Hey.
I will say, this is the most
chemistry.
There are
a lot of things. But they have never had sex.
That's true. This is the most chemistry Derek and Odette have ever had. Ever.
It is working for them.
They're like finishing each other's sentences and shit. Like,
Odette makes a reference to getting sawed in half, which I thought was particularly bawdy from her.
Right.
Maybe it was just my read on it, but I was like, whoa, Odette.
So, wouldn't be the first time he killed you. They have to prove their
daughter's grown up. They gotta get weird.
They're being accused. So they're like, the only way we can get ahead of this, it could ruin everything. It could ruin our reputations. Which, like, who gives a shit? Like, you're a king and queen of your own country.
Yeah. And they wouldn't want to be on the Council of Crowns, right? Because the Council of Crowns 1000% murdered Max.
Right, it's a corrupt organization that can't even investigate when one of their own has become evil. So they decide to prove that they're not Derek and Odette by doing this huge magic show musical number.
I thought I was going to dislike this a lot more, but the music itself was okay. There are two songs in this movie, and they range from okay to fucking terrible. And this one was okay.
and okay, fucking terrible, and I'm pretty sure that's from the first movie. it was pretty good.
There's no internal logic in this scene, though. Like,
No, they just start doing a bunch of fucking bullshit. And everyone's like, wow, oh my god, so good. And then at the end, King Edward's like, take off the mask. I can see your Prince Derek.
Which is, but, hey guys, hey, yeah.
Yeah, always going to be. And then the only thing about this plan that matters happens, which is Prince Derek walks in and goes, I'm sorry I'm late, everybody. Who the fuck are these people?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, I guess Prince Derek isn't pretending to be a magician. And if that woman is Odette, that's none of our business.
Hey, she's not on the council. And if she's cheating on Derek with the magician, that's between them.
That looks exactly like him. They could figure that out at home. Let's adjourn for the day, everybody.
There's some kind of infinite clone crisis happening here. It's not our problem.
Right. So, Derek also, and Odette. Yes,
sorry. I do want to point out that I forget this fucker's name. He's the bad guy. But the head of the council is like, well, nothing we do will be as fun as this. So let's just adjourn. And I was like, you don't make laws for fucking fun, man. Like, what are you talking about?
I think his name is King Howard or King Ivan. King Ivan. King Ivan.
King Ivan, I think, is right. The problem is, I don't give a shit. I like this movie has so fundamentally failed to engage me.
Yeah, no, 110%.
Oh, it was okay. Rogers in one of their super, super, super realistic masks. So why are they wearing domino masks?
Correct. So they go to confront. They go to confront the accountant.
They get a costume change here. Everybody looks like Carmen Sandiego.
Correct. Also, I don't know how they figured out about the accountant. I don't think they ever get into that. They just go to him.
It's because Rogers knew him because he taught him to be a sailor and I guess was keeping track of him. So he knew that he was an ex-pirate already. Okay. Rogers, this is just something Rogers knew. And so he decided to go to him once they figured out there's some kind of pirate conspiracy.
And this, I think this is probably the only joke in the movie that I thought was funny, which is that this pirate has a tattoo on his wrist that says, I was a pirate. Or I am a pirate?
Yeah, something like that. That joke was all right. Here's the problem. Here's my problem.
Yeah.
This joke continues.
Yes.
So that every time they ask him something and he denies it, they find a new tattoo. And Roger says a line.
This line is the most insanely sexual thing.
That is
kind of gross.
It is so fucked up. To say, he says, your mouth keeps denying, but your body keeps confessing. And I was not okay.
It's so funny. It's not funny for the reasons they think it's funny.
It's funny because the only, no, it's just, it's, no, it's, I can't even talk about this line is how fucked up I find it.
Yeah. So,
oh, so, sorry, I just remembered my favorite line.
Yes.
So this guy tells them everything that happened. He says that they that they put King Max on a boat and sent him to Unscapable Island.
Unscapable Island.
Unscapable Island. And then the next words out of his mouth are, no one has ever returned from that island.
But no one has ever returned from Unscapable. I think someone else says it later. I think Scully tells Derek. But Derek, no one's ever come back from Unscapable Island. It's like, we get it.
Andy, I needed it four more times. It's the funniest joke to name something Unscapable Island and then keep saying no one has ever returned. Like, yeah, man, I know.
I misheard. So they said that and I was like, did they just say it's called Inescapable Island?
It's, yes.
And then 2 seconds later, they were like, Unscapable Island. And I was like, that's not a real word.
No, it's so not. I love it, though. It's like an island called Super Alcatraz and being like, no one's ever broken out of Super Alcatraz.
We had to make, after somebody broke out of Alcatraz, we had to make sure it never happened again. Alcatraz 2. Unscapable Island.
Unscapable Island. I want a producer credit.
So they go to confront King Edward about this, and that's when he confesses that he's actually secretly been a writer.
I've written this down. It's Edgar.
Oh, is it Edgar?
It's Edgar, not Edward. Yeah.
My bad.
So they go to confront him, and it turns out that all the weird shit he's been doing has been research for his pirate dramas that he writes.
I think this is fun.
It's actually a good bit, and it drills down into every writer's insecurities about Googling how long a body takes to decompose.
Right.
When you're like, oh, I'm on a list, but like, I need to know how bad the body should be when they find it.
Right. And you, how to, well, because you don't want to be that guy who accidentally put a Legend of Zelda recipe into his book.
Oh my God. That was, yeah.
Like you really gotta get your, if you can go to a firsthand source like this guy did. But it does mean that he was just walking around threatening people and being like, I need a blade. One that sends a message.
So that was a weird bit. This is why the red herring thing kind of doesn't work. I feel like, okay, let me ask you something.
Yeah, man.
Was he behind knocking the wheel off their carriage?
No, I don't think so.
Because he's the one who threw the blade at them to tell them to stop investigating.
I don't think he was.
It was the same knife.
It was the same knife. I think, Tony, I think this is a bad movie.
Okay, cool.
Because we watch him go into this accountant's office and tell him to stand up, sit down, spin around like a dog, and then bark.
Yeah, well, this is why I didn't think it was a red herring, because they went to a lot of trouble to show him being, like, petty.
Just a huge
evil asshole. Yeah, like, just like a monster.
Like an absolute jackass. And it's like, listen, I'm okay with him, like, secretly writing, like, his weird pirate novels, but he's, like, an asshole to people. He's a real motherfucker to his wife.
Yeah.
Like, he still sucks, and he should not be a part of the ending of this movie.
I missed this while it was happening, because we sort of glanced through those scenes, but he does not live in a castle and appears to live in kind of a shitty house. Which I find a little bit baffling, like a weird choice.
Right, he just lives in like a little cottage.
Yeah.
In the middle of like peasantry and rabble. It's weird.
It's weird. He's a king. They don't know what kingdoms are in this fucking movie.
Well, apparently kings are just like governors. They're like, no, our investigation, how could this be? I guess we have to give up. But who shows up to save the day? But Crispin, the pirate accountant, who is like, I found Captain Firebeard, my old boss. Oh, sorry. Captain Firebeard was Crispin's old boss, and they definitely super kidnapped King Max, because Crispin was there, and King Max looked at him and said, hey, tell my wife and son I love them.
Right. They were really devastated when they found out it wasn't Edgar, but I was like, you guys still have, like, a lot to go on.
Like, there is a whole round table of suspects. You've eliminated one.
There's a fucking pirate out there who you know kidnapped him. And then, yeah, that's, so they go after the pirate who, so they get new disguises, which is funny.
No, because no. Derek gets a new disguise. Odette gets a change in lipstick.
Well, okay. She also dyes her hair. She does a pirate voice that I cannot stand. It is fully cursed.
I there was a moment when I genuinely thought this movie was going to be like, no, Odette, you can't come. It's too dangerous.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck, Derek? But then she's like, nah, Derek, I can do it. I can be a pirate if you want me to. And then we find out that she doesn't even get, like, a face mask disguise.
Yeah.
And I was so mad again. Like, what the fuck?
Let you into my brain a little bit. The moment she did that voice is when I made the note, I would like this movie to be over now.
Well, thankfully it's not over, because we get the hardest line in the movie.
Okay.
When we go meet the pirates.
First, there's Firebeard. He looks like a WoW character. He's so overdesigned.
He's like a League of Legends dwarf.
Yes, he's like crazy. He's like from a fully different franchise. I think they might have stolen him. They talk about Unescapable Island, still fucking funny. And then
an island that no one's ever escaped from.
And then we do get the fucking hardest line for no reason. Way too hard in this movie. It's awesome.
Because Firebeard tells them the story of how he kidnapped King Max, how King Ivan helped him do it, fully confesses. And then at that point, Prince Derek, who's in disguise as like a different ethnicity of person.
Yeah.
Stands up. And King Firebeard looks at him and goes, I know the look of a man who wants to avenge his father's death.
He sure does. Although I will say, Andy, I wrote it down. And there's one little aspect that you changed, which I do think is important. He says, I know too well.
Too well.
Like,
too well. Damn, awesome. What a cool, in that one, this is how you do character writing. In that one line, we've learned so much about Captain Firebeard.
We learned he's killed a lot of fathers and a
lot of sons. No, Derek, I am your father.
I mean, the Dread Pirate Roberts twist would have been fun.
It would have been fun. It would have been something. They don't do that, though. Derek and Odette
escape. It also would have been fully weird. Like, just made no sense.
Derek and Odette escape.
Mm-hmm. What's his name? Crispin. Crispin stays behind to sacrifice himself so that they can escape. So, pour some out.
Rough. And he says, long live King Derek and Prince Odette, and then fights all the pirates. Just starts fighting them. It's the most violence I think we've seen in these movies since the first movie.
Absolutely. And then we get, I shit you not, an Uberta subplot.
Oh god, that's right, we do.
Which I just didn't think would happen. She was retired as a character. They like put her out to pasture last movie, but they have to make sure they stick her in, real quick.
Let's just get her in there.
It's a stupid little thing. It's that the Evil Queen paid Magnus to paint the terrible thing she did to Uberta's, the coronation that she planned. And then Magnus actually paints it all great, and Uberta's so touched that they're now friends. And Magnus just, like, walks out of the movie, like, that was my job.
I did it again, boys. I used art to heal all wounds.
Uh-huh.
My work here is done. Time for me to go age another 1,000 years.
He's like the opposite of Merlin. He's like, I walk in this ageless world, the only man who ages.
Who ages. I was going to say that he was like the portrait of Dorian Gray, but he's a human being who takes on all of the age and wounds of every other character.
He paints people, and when he paints them, they stay that age.
They stay young, and he grows a little bit older. A haunting character.
This movie's fucking good, man. The lore is great.
The lore is so strong. It was too strong, the lore. It killed the franchise.
That's why we didn't get a number 9 movie after he got that portrait. Because his whole thing was done.
He's done. Him and that king are trapped alone in a dead city with no inhabitants. Like, so they got a fucking Dark Souls, man.
Number 9 would be a great Dark Souls character.
That would be a great Dark Souls character. So they escape. They go and this. Okay, this is the most Scooby-Doo ass shit. And don't get me wrong. I love Scooby-Doo ass shit. I'm all for it. But at this point in the movie, I was kind of just tired.
This has no reason to work. I did enjoy because it was a really stupid, goofy add-on to this already terrible plan. I did enjoy that they'd apparently gotten all of the other kings and queens to listen into what they're doing with a cup and string.
I did like that. That was a good touch.
It's like, okay, I guess, guys. Yeah, they fully do like paper mask ghosts of Max and Ivan's King dead Ivan's mom to tell him to confess
your sins,
and he does. And so he's obviously thrown off the council and probably arrested. I don't remember.
We see them arrest the forgery guy, but right. I don't think we ever see what happens to King Ivan. Presumably he just goes home and is king, but is not on the council anymore.
That's fair. It's hard to arrest a king. Assassinated or something. Yeah.
Right. I've played Crusader Kings 3 a little bit. You kind of have to just like invade their country to do it.
Yeah. So I had maybe my most optimistic note, which is this franchise going to end with Derek disappearing into the sunset?
God, I wished. It was the combination of, if this is how this movie ends, it's fucking genius. And then there was the fear of, is there one more? Have I made a mistake? Have I missed something?
So Derek is sailing off into the sunset. For some reason, this is the one thing he won't take Odette with him. This is, now she has to stay home. But
he gets a new costume change for this.
He's going to Unscapable Island to retrieve his father's corpse.
So that it can have a proper burial.
He fully doesn't believe his dad will still be alive. He's just doing this to, give him proper burial. He takes Scully with him, which, fair, most powerful person in the film franchise, why not? There's a magic barrier around Unscapable Island that traps Scully outside of it, and once you are inside of it, there is immediately a massive storm, and Unscapable Island is revealed to basically be a bunch of sharp, craggy rocks. Derek almost dies.
He gets a little bit of blood on his forehead at one point, and I gasped out loud. I was like, blood in my Swan Princess movie?
He's like, I'm sorry, Odette. And I was like, Derek, your dad's gonna save you. That's how movies work. I was right, obviously, because it is how movies work. And then,
Derek, come on.
In the most rushed ending I've ever seen, Derek and his dad's love for each other appears to immediately break whatever spell is around Unscapable
Island. I was so mad at this. This is so fucking... I wanted the dark arts to come back.
Yeah.
And instead we get this. Terrible.
I genuinely thought we might get the dark arts when Unscapable Island turned out to be so evil. I was like, are we doing it? They send Scully back to get them another boat. Which apparently, yeah. I don't know if Scully sails it, but for some reason they send another boat and Uberta and Rogers and everyone is not on it.
No. They have to wait.
Don't send a change of clothes for Max. He shows up in his shipwrecked gear.
Honestly, it was one of those things where I was like, well, it's not like he dresses any better anyway.
But like,
shit-ass fucking peasant king.
Derek has clothes! They're the same size!
Well, yeah, because his dad hasn't aged a fucking day.
So they get back, and there's, like, this whole big scene where everybody's, like, greeting Max. There's a these stupid fucking orphans are singing.
Everyone's singing. They're talking about how he's come home, and we're all coming home, and home is where we are, and that's where we're coming, and none of us can stop coming when we're at home.
Yeah, there was one good line, speaking of coming at home, where he says to Rogers, "You have been a companion to my widowed wife."
To my wife.
And I was like, yeah, yes.
Rogers, you and I are cousins, but we both know that in bed we're brothers.
that's right, but you say that, but his cousin is there from the other movie.
He's just showed up. Yeah, that's right. And he's like, I own land now.
And the guy who hired him was like, and you made me a better man. And I was like, it was 30 years.
It was 30 years ago. You all look the same.
And everybody's like, we have a king again, which is not cool.
Right. Very uncool.
You had a king. He's Derek. So. That's basically it. Odette starts calling him dad, which I don't know. All right, whatever. Stop replacing family members, Odette. He joins the Council of Crowns again. It seems like as the head.
Yes.
But he is no longer king. He has stepped down for Derek. Yes. So I guess his full-time job is being the head of the Council of Crowns. Which,
and you know what? They should have done this fucking sooner.
Which actually makes sense.
It makes so much more sense.
It doesn't make sense to run your own kingdom and run this council of kingdoms. Yeah.
And Rogers will be my personal assistant. If Derek will let him. I was like, sure, I guess, dude.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
All right.
What if he wants to dress up as a weirdo again? I mean, it's like 90% of what he does now.
That's true. He's found his thing. He's like a tech guy now.
Yeah.
He's like their version of Steve Jobs. Is that his name?
I mean, yes.
Okay.
Assuming you're talking about Steve Jobs.
I meant to call him Steve Gates or Bill Jobs.
I guess.
I just said his name. So, and we get credits. When we get to hear Far Longer Than Forever again, great song. This movie may has not seen the original Swan Princess. May has only seen 5 of these shitty direct-to-video sequels. And this movie has made her be like, I think I want to watch the original. I have to know what did this.
Besides the animal companions, the original is really...
It's good, I think.
There is nothing in the original that would make you think that this could happen.
Right. I feel like if I went back and listened to my own opinion on that movie, I would probably have said that it sucks. But after all of this, I can't help but think that it's good.
I mean,
it's not. It didn't deserve this.
I mean, it was a little bit trying to be Beauty and the Beast, which is like a huge fucking swing, and it doesn't quite get there, but it's doing something.
Yeah, again, it didn't deserve this. Whatever this is, we have strayed so fucking far from these movies. There is a point in which Derek is like,
I thought you were going to say we've strayed so far from the light of God.
We have strayed so far from the light of God and the love of Christ, because Derek looks at his dad and he says, Dad, this is my wife, my swan princess. And at the top of my lungs, I cannot emphasize to everybody that she has not turned into a fucking swan for 16 of these goddamn movies. What are we doing?
Andy, this is a fight that in my soul, I lost years ago.
She's the Swan Princess. The movie is called The Swan Princess. She hasn't turned in, and I didn't expect it. I didn't expect it to happen.
I cared so much that she hadn't been turned into a swan. And when they got a kid, I was like, oh, the kid's gonna turn into a swan. She's the new Swan Princess. Fucking no.
Oh god, they don't even talk about the kids. He's like, this is it. This is my whole family.
When Max shows up and I was like, wow, they're just not gonna introduce him to his granddaughter.
And then as they start walking away, he's like, Odette, I heard from Derek, I assume on the boat ride back, all about you. But now I want to hear you tell me your story.
Do you know what I said out loud when he said that? I said, it's not worth it. The first time's fine. Hearing it again, it gets worse.
I'm going to tell you right now, man, it's not going to sound that much better coming from her. And then this peasant family's house exploded and we stole their child.
So we killed Rothbart, but he came back on Christmas and we had to sing Christmas carols to kill him again. You know.
And there was a cat that's died 8 times, but it was secretly the holder of the dark arts.
So there are these Ewok guys who are loyal to me now.
They have a whole island of rabid, violent squirrel people. And this ghost squirrel was their leader.
This ghost squirrel was their leader. The ghost squirrel just solves our problems for us. We actually don't do anything without talking to the ghost squirrel first. Because he knows when things will happen. Which is a normal thing for ghosts, I guess.
It's like, this sounds like a really bad film franchise.
Yeah. Terrible. Here's Jean Bob. He's an asshole pervert.
who still, after all this time, thinks that he is a frog prince. And I gotta tell you, I have never wished more in my life that a character had ever experienced even a little bit of growth.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe that at the end of this film, he's like, I love being they make all of us royalty look good. And I was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Dude, the joke wasn't funny in the first movie. It's not funny now.
He gets kissed at the end of the first movie. That's the point.
Correct.
And like, I guess he just fucking buries that down deep. Down way deep.
Way deep.
Down deep. Thank you for listening to Direct to Video.
VHS.
I have been your host, Tony Robusto.
I have been your host, Andy Reyes.
You can find me at inspiredbytrueevents.org, and you can find the podcast at direct2.video.
You can find me here at direct2.video. You can also find me on my YouTube channel, Ethical Games Journalism. I have recorded the next episode. I just haven't had time to sit down and edit it. I'm really sad about that. Mostly because I've been having allergy issues, and I think we found out that I might be allergic to aspirin of all things.
Oh my god,
this is great! It means that if my life ever gets any cooler, and I have to talk to an EMT, And they're like, do you have any allergies? And I can go, yes, I'm allergic to opioids. And then they can go, oh, cool. Then it's going to hurt the rest of the time, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it's just going to hurt.
Then it's never going to stop hurting for you. It's like, ah, great. But thankfully, I'm not a cool person. I don't do anything. I try not to leave my house. So this is a low chance, but you know.
Thank you to Scott Buckley for Homeward.
A bit, and you know, thank you to Richard Rich and Brian Nissen.
No, I refuse.
Who've been here with us the whole time.
And a special thank you to Yuri Lowenthal, who I still think about how he wrote one of these movies.
Oh, and it was truly one of the worst ones.
I think it was the Christmas one.
Oh, yeah, it might have been.
Oh, this guy.
Don't quit your day job, man.
Being Spider-Man? Yeah, don't quit that one.
Yeah, right. Don't, please.
Sometimes I want to listen to Yuri Lowenthal's voice and not feel hatred, so I gotta play a Spider-Man game.
Yeah, I gotta play.
Okay, so next time, we're gonna watch Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. The first full-length animated movie.
Ever.
And we're gonna be... That one's gonna be good. And then we're gonna watch something else.
And we're gonna watch... we're gonna watch Art Die, I think. They brought back one of the oldest films ever made just to kill the franchise.
They killed the franchise. I am the ghost of John Smith.
Far longer than... No, wait. Here. In the animal kingdom, we live far longer than forever. And this is Swam Princess.
Wait. Is the name of the movie a reference to the fact that everybody's the same age 30 years later?
No, I don't. They know.
They know.
They were who we thought they were. What are we doing now?
What are we doing now?
Do you want to just watch the first one?
Start from the top.
Just start again. This is a hell that never ends.
I think this is the second big children's film franchise that we've actually finished.
Is that true, or did we just finish it again because they made two fucking more?
I mean, it still counts. We did this one and we did the fairy one. I don't think we have another.
We also did Balto.
That was three movies. We also did Balto.
Yeah, I like to with that second one, man. The Wolf Quest.
I think that if we watched Wolf Quest again, we would find out that by our current standards, it's an okay movie.
It's we're gonna be like, it's so good. It's so good.
I think that we were at a point where the craziness of Wolf Quest destroyed us, but after watching every Swan Princess film, Wolf Quest will go down real smooth.